Let's pray together. Our fathers, we come before you this morning in humility, knowing that Christianity is not the perfect man's religion, but it is salvation for those willing to admit our need for a Savior and to follow Jesus Christ the Lord. Lord, I pray that you draw people to yourself this morning through your word. Lord, we pray that you communicate to us this morning and help us to rejoice in our Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. My family gathered together yesterday, and around 2:30, we watched something special. And I don't know if anybody else watched something special, but history was made yesterday at 2:30 p.m. Dennis, I hope you saw it. The first privately created rocket was sent into outer space, not done by government, but done by private industry. Launched a Falcon rocket and a Dragon capsule out of the Earth's atmosphere and into orbit. I got a message this morning on the news that the capsule had connected to the space station and that the astronauts were doing what they needed to do and delivering supplies and would be there for several weeks before they head home. And if any of you watched the launch, what you saw was something pretty spectacular. Not only did SpaceX do it for about 1% of the cost that the government could do it, but they did something, the technology added to the rocket was just, it was mind-blowing. Now, as I watched, something was brought to my mind. That rocket was there on the launch pad, and what direction did that rocket go? It went straight up. Now, most of the time you think of aircraft, they take off and they might ease their way up into the sky. Many of you have flown before, and whether you're on an airplane or a helicopter or whatever it may be, but this rocket went straight up because the quickest way to get away from the Earth is what? Straight up. And the goal of the rocket was to get away from the Earth. This morning in 1 John chapter 2, I want to relate the rocket and the launch of the rocket yesterday to our daily walk and fight and struggle against sin. So if you have your Bible, I want to invite you to open up to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, we'll be reviewing briefly the test that we looked at last week and then digging into one of the purposes of John's book, and that is what he will give us in this first verse. And it will be an additional purpose to the one that he already gave us. As we review this morning, I want to remind you that we're in our series called Truth in 2020. We've been going through reviewing a verse every week. And I'd like to read for you our verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And Titus, I know you know this verse, so pay attention to this one. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. This is our job, Christian, to destroy arguments, to battle the lies that this world communicates to us and loves for us to know. We destroy arguments because we have better arguments and they are rooted in the Word of God. And that is why we as Christians need to know the Word of God. We destroy every argument raised against every lofty and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive. That's right, Jimmy. I know you're listening. We talk about this on Thursday, not often, but we take every thought captive to obey Christ. And the battle is in our minds with truth. And so my hope, brothers and sisters, here this morning, is that as we get into the Word of God and know the Word of God, that it will help us in our daily battle against the lies that are trying desperately to destroy us. And so, Christians, if you're here this morning, I want to remind you, there are temptations every day that come against you and against me. And there are false promises, oftentimes, that seek to trick us into complying, into giving in, into compromising. But those will never give us true joy, true lasting joy. And if I can, many of you have been around this church for a long time, and if you remember when I taught through Proverbs, I made this statement every week as I taught through Proverbs, and it says, deeply rooted joy comes not from fleeting and fast joys, but come from lots of long-range good decisions. And this is where we need to be as Christians, making good decisions, believing the truth, and pursuing Jesus Christ. Last week, we looked at the test of what true Christianity is. And we looked at a lot of them. Test number one said, if we have fellowship with Him, but we walk in darkness, we're lying. We don't truly have fellowship with Him if we're going to continually walk in sin. Maybe we need to examine our salvation. Test number two, if we walk in the light as He's in the light, then we do have fellowship with Him. We don't lie. But the blood of Jesus covers us. So if our actions line up with our confession, then we are walking in the truth. Test number three was, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. We're all sinners, and Christians are people who are able to admit that we don't have it all together. Christian, are you there? Do you try to spend your life defending every action, or are you willing to say, I need Jesus? And Christians are not people who must defend everything that we do. That's not who we are. Test number four, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Praise God, y'all. Christians are people who are willing to confess their sin and not defend their actions and say, well, I'm proud of what I did. But we're willing to say, I'm not proud of what I did. And finally, the fifth one, if we say we have not sinned, we make God out to be a liar. And I was talking with Allison last week, and she said, you know, that last test is, it's a little bit hard to comprehend. And so just for a moment, I'd like to look at verse 10, and Stacy's got it up here. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. And it's kind of hard to comprehend, isn't it? Are we making God be a liar? Is God a liar? No, the answer is no. Of course He's not a liar. But what the Scripture's telling us is what we're doing is we are professing or claiming God's a liar because we're putting our words against God's words. And what God's word has said is that we are sinful and we do sin. We can't make God's word, we can't stand up against God's word if we proclaim that we're not sinning, that we're not sinful. So there it is, John, I loved your song. Look, we're weak, we need Jesus. We daily need our Lord. And I don't know if y'all recognize that, but in your prayers, I hope that you are recognizing, Lord, I need you. I need you each day because I see my weakness and I need you. And then chapter 2 begins. And so chapter 2 of 1 John is a chapter that's really needs our attention. And John is just, I love the author, John. He's deep and yet he's simple and straightforward at the same time. So let's look at 1 John 2, verse 1. Now remember that rocket. Remember that rocket we talked about? It went straight up yesterday. It did not take its time and ease its way. It went straight up. And here's 1 John chapter 2. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And y'all help me out, church. We have an advocate with the Father. What's His name?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ, the what? The righteous. Y'all, I've just communicated to you so much and so in a real way that we are sinning. We're sinful people. We're weak and we're fragile. We give in to the lies of the world often, too often. And we give ourselves over to things that we know aren't true. But here we have Jesus Christ, the righteous. This is really important. Really important. And as John's going to play this forward, Jesus Christ, the righteous, matters. Because as he's told us just now in the last verses of chapter 1, we have a need. We are guilty, but we have the righteous one that we can call upon for salvation. And sinner, I hope that makes you feel a little more confident. It's like the man who's trapped in quicksand. And all of a sudden, he sees someone throwing a rope to him. He sees, oh yes, yes, there is salvation. I can grab this rope and live. There's something stronger than I am. Something on more sure ground than I am. And it gives us hope. And I want to ask you, Christian, to proclaim Jesus Christ the righteous to those who are trapped in quicksand around us. To throw that which is stronger to those who are in need. This is the joy of Christian ministry, that we get to help those who are in need. Look, let's read that verse again. I've got it up here. My little children, I'm writing you these things so that. Now, a couple of weeks ago, he told us why he was writing these things. Do any of you remember? I was in my living room, my den, and I remember saying this over Facebook Live to all of you. Why was John writing the book? Now, if you need to, take your Bible there and go back to chapter 1 and look at the beginning, because I want y'all to tell me, you should have your Bible there, why did John, did he say in the first chapter he was writing this book? Do you remember? Do you remember? Look in verse 4, and that might help you out. Y'all help me out. Why did he write these things? Why did he say he was writing these things? For joy, yeah. So we have joy when we can overcome sin. Can I have a witness out there? When you know that you can overcome sin and that you have overcome sin and that, or rather you could say it this way, that you have, that Jesus has overcome sin in your life, you can have joy. Y'all have all experienced it, right? You've messed up. You know you said something to somebody you shouldn't have said. You know that you acted in a way that you shouldn't have acted. You know that you've done something and you just go, oh, what was I thinking? And then you realize that Jesus forgives you. You confess your sin. And then you have that deep joy. Now, being forgiven of sin brings joy to a sinner. It really does. However, that's not John's only purpose in writing this book. And so y'all tell me, based on chapter 2, verse 1, what was another purpose for John writing his book? Help me out. So that what? So that what? So that we might not sin. So John is giving us, and I'll put it this way, John is giving us the truth so that we will not sin. You see that? John is giving us the Word of God. It's important that you're here at church this morning or that you're joining us through a media in order that the Word of God come to you so that you can process it. And I really enjoyed your class this morning, Richard. You taught God's Word, just walked through God's Word. And I enjoyed hearing the story of Joseph and Potiphar and what we discussed this morning, because the more of God's Word we know, the more weapons are in our arsenal to fight in our battle for sin. And so I want to give you, kind of draw in that rocket for you. And I want to give you the idea of why I discussed the rocket this morning. If John is trying to help us not sin, What, Christian, should be our battle plan? What should be our battle plan when we're in a fight against sin, trying to draw us away and discredit our Lord Jesus and make us walk in a way that's not worthy of the calling to which we're called? If the enemy can dirty us and get us stuck down in the miry bog, then he will do so. What is our strategy in fighting sin? And I'm going to offer to you 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 and 3 give us principles. And I'm going to bring in some of John's other writings to help us develop these principles for your day-to-day battle against sin. So if you're with me, say amen this morning.
Amen.
Amen. If you're home, say amen. Two principles. Let's look at the next two verses. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And it says this. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. He is the propitiation for our sins, but not ours only, but for the whole world. So the first principle in our battle against sin that I want to offer you is this. It's a very simple principle, and it is this. Think about Jesus. So John tells us right away that Jesus is the payment for our sin. Now this P word, it's a difficult word because we don't use it every day. And when's the last time you uttered the word propitiation? Probably not recently if you're a normal person. Pastors, maybe more recently. I know that Tyler uses it all the time when people walk in Blanchard's. He's like, hey, y'all know about Jesus, the propitiation, right? No, it's just not a word you use. What does it mean? And here's a little clue for you to remember the word. The word, the P at the beginning of the word, it's not a real easy clue, but it's somewhat helpful. P stands for payment. And propitiation simply means that Jesus paid for our sins. He was a payment in our stead for sins. And it has to do in the sense of something being owed to someone, like a judge, and then someone comes in and makes the payment of a fine. Now, this is church, y'all. So we gotta be honest here this morning. How many of you have ever had to pay a fine for something that you did because you did something wrong? Let me see some hands. All right, we have a few honest people out there. All right, you've paid a fine. Somebody had to pay that fine. I'm not going to ask you if it was a speeding ticket or not, because I think I know the answer to most of your fines. But a payment is when you owe something in a legal sense. And so here we have this morning, this is what John is telling us. Jesus is the payment for a fine that is owed. And how, may I ask you, did Jesus make that payment? Anybody help me out? All right. His death on the cross paid the cost for our sin. But here's what I love. Is that not only does John talk about the payment or the propitiation in verse 2, but he also talked about the righteousness in verse 1. So we have the double-edged sword that Jesus offers. He pays for our sin, and he provides righteousness in our stead, where we need righteousness. Because payment for sin is not just enough. We need righteousness as well. But I digress a little bit. I just talk about that. I get into it. Here's the point. John gives us the work of Jesus for us to think about when he's talking about us battling sin. Now, this is important. Principle number one, if you're taking notes, I know you are. If you're taking notes, point number one is this. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus in your battle against sin. Oftentimes, we get caught up and distracted in things that grab our attention and garner our affections because we're not looking to Jesus. And so John says, Jesus paid for your sin. Remember that. Our family watched a movie called Fireproof by the Kendrick Brothers. It was put out years ago. But one of the main characters in the story has an addiction to an internet addiction, to going to inappropriate sites. And he battles this temptation throughout the movie. And in his temptation, he becomes a Christian throughout the movie, and he begins to realize that, Jesus, you did this for me. The least I can do is give up this guilty pleasure because I'm looking to what Jesus sacrificed for me. And so I want to offer to you, Christian, if you are battling a temptation today, it might be some impurity, it might be self-centeredness, it might be laziness, it might be a substance or an addiction you might have, it might just be being mean to people, or anger, or maybe it's someone you haven't forgiven. Wherever your struggle might be, look to Jesus. And let me flesh that out for you. If you're having trouble forgiving someone, and yet you go to Jesus every day and ask forgiveness of your sin, then what's wrong with that picture? Okay? If you're being mean to someone purposefully, and yet you come to Jesus, the King of the universe, who owes you nothing, and expect him to give you time in prayer and to listen to you, what's wrong with this picture? The more that we look to Jesus, the more that it teaches us how to interact with other people. If you're struggling with an immorality, a sin that maybe it's looking at material or having thoughts or watching things you shouldn't be watching, and yet you, when you go to the spotless Lamb of God, and you think, well, Lord, and you pray things like, Lord, save me from my sin, and yet continue to walk in it, there's something wrong with that picture. And so I want to encourage you, as John told us this morning, Christianity is not for perfect people. It's for people who are fighting sin. Look to Jesus daily, hourly. And when you struggle, fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus and live. Principle number one, in your struggle with sin, look to Jesus. Now let me go back to our rocket. What is the quickest way to leave the Earth's atmosphere? You are smart, Eli. Straight up. You see, some of the problems with the way that Christians battle sin is we try to take the airplane effect. And we try to ease our way out of sinful habits. Well, I'll make an effort. Oh, next week I'll do better. And we try to ease our way out of sin. But let me ask you this. If you were stuck in that quicksand and you wanted to get out, would you take your time getting out of that quicksand when you had that rope ready to pull you out? If you were drowning in the water, in the ocean, and the Coast Guard comes and they come to rescue you, would you just say, you know, I'm going to ease my way out. It might be cold out in that water, out in the air up there. I'm going to ease my way. No, we wouldn't do that. And the astronauts yesterday, they did not ease their way out of the atmosphere. Did you know that it took less than 7 minutes to be in orbit? I can't make it home in 7 minutes from this church. And they're in orbit in 7 minutes. Think about that, Christian. How long does it take you to be delivered from sin? As long as it takes you to fly to Jesus, to run to Jesus. Think about that in your strategy against sin today. And you think about that rocket. You run to Jesus. You look to Jesus, and you can make headway in your battle against sin. We have a verse for the month. I really love this verse. I'm going to ask y'all to read it with me while we're reading. Philippians 4:8, y'all should know it, or y'all are learning it, or we're learning it. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is Whatever is, if anything is, something like that. If there is anything worthy of, y'all help me out. Think about these things. That's rocket mentality right there. I'm going to set my mind on things above, Colossians 3:1. I'm going to set my mind on things above, not on things that are of earth. Another one of our memory verses. I'm setting my mind on Jesus. And in my battle, when that sin comes against me, I don't see those temptations so much because I'm looking to Jesus. It's been said, sometimes Christians can be so heavenly minded that they do no earthly good. Any of y'all heard that before? It's wrong. It is anti-biblical. And I remember I was in high school, and one of the leaders at my church told me that. I thought, oh, okay, all right. And I believed it. And as I read the scripture, I go, what? And where did you come up with that? You can be too focused on Jesus. Like, who made that up? And why did someone repeat that? Yo, we need to be as Christ-minded and centered as we can. Second principle. All right. First one is look to Jesus. The second principle is this. Keep his word. Look at verse 3. Abide in his word. Look at verse 3 of 1 John chapter 2. Y'all still with me this morning? Look to Jesus, y'all. Look to Jesus. And secondly, abide in his word. Look at verse 3. And by this we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. In our struggle against sin, we are trying to keep his commandments. It is the responsibility of the Christian to know the commands of God and then do our best to keep them. Not to ignore them, not to conveniently forget them, but to keep his commandments. And I'm not calling y'all to be perfect, because I'm not perfect. We all know that. But I am calling us to be people who pursue Jesus and who pursue to keep his commandments. The problem with people who might confess Christianity is those who say, well, I confess to be a Christian, but I'm going to ignore all the things that Jesus asked me to do. And secretly, sometimes, y'all, that ideology comes into our minds. I'll just ignore this one. John not only wrote this book of 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, but he also wrote... Oh, I got a comment here. Can I say this, Tyler? This is for you. Jordan taught one of the first things Tyler taught us was to keep the commandments. I'm assuming that's what you're talking about. So, Tyler, you're doing a good job. You're teaching the word there. Keep the commands of God. In the Gospel of John, this is a precious chapter, and I know that Mimi loves this one. Steve, there you are. I know Mimi loves this chapter, and as well as I do. But the 15th chapter of John, Mary, you probably know what this is about in our class. The 15th chapter of John is one of my favorite passages that John teaches. And he teaches us about being the true vine. So if y'all can see it, I'll get out of the way here. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. We think about abiding in Jesus and abiding in his word and keeping his commandments. This is what I think about. Every branch, verse 2, go ahead. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Or that does bear fruit, rather, he prunes that it might bear more fruit. So you see, this is what he's talking about in 1 John. Here are the tests. If you're bearing fruit, I'm going to prune you so you'll do what? Bear more fruit. If you're not bearing fruit, you're not really of the vine. So into the fire you go. And this is what we've talked about over the last couple weeks. Same author, Same context, same idea. And this is why I'm bringing the passage in, because I think it fits so well. Verse 3. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So he goes to about his word. Already you are clean because of the word that I've spoken to you. So the word brings a constant cleansing to us. And so when I say abide in his word, this is what I mean. The scripture oftentimes talks about the cleansing that the word brings to us, because as we know God's word, we begin to fulfill God's word. Christian, you know you're a Christian because when you read God's word, you want to do it. It's the mark of a Christian. Y'all with me on that? You know you're in the faith because when you read the word of God, you go, yes, I agree with that. Amen, amen. Verily, verily. Verse 4. Oh, let me, before we do that, let me stay on verse 3. No, go to verse 4. I take it back, Stacy. I'm going to tie it in verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. Remain in me. As the branch itself, or the branch cannot bear fruit itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, I don't know if y'all are aware or not, if your children, your grandchildren, but Halloween costumes, dress-up costumes, they've gotten pretty fancy. Can I say it like that? Can I say fancy? Like some might say. And here's what I mean. I've seen my younger three, they're all about the same size, but they have this really cool outfit, and I think it was yours, Nate. It was a Spider-Man outfit. You remember, you know what I'm talking about? And one time Nate dressed up in this Spider-Man outfit, but it was a fancy Spider-Man outfit. Do you know what I'm talking about, Nate? It wasn't just a cape. Well, I guess Spider-Man doesn't really have a cape, does it? It wasn't just lines on the front that looked like a spider. But do you remember what it had, Nate? It had muscles built into it. It had muscles built into it. So he walked out, he had this muscle suit. And it looked like Nate's got muscles now, let me tell you. But these were muscles. And it looked like Nate had been on the weight set for years. And he was beefy and strong Spider-Man. There was nothing to it. Now, I got a reason for saying this. Sometimes as Christians, we feel like, well, I'm just going to put on my Christian fruit suit. I'm going to put on my fruit suit, and people are going to look at me and they go, oh, man, look at G-Man. Hey, he's really a Christian because he says good Christian words. Or Tristan, man, he knows how to pray. He must be a Christian because he can pray really well. Or Hannah. Ooh, Hannah is very thoughtful in what she says, or she's very kind. She made brownies for somebody. She must be a Christian. And we put on our fruit suits of good deeds, and we think, people are going to look at me, and they're going to say I'm a Christian. But you know what? It's kind of like Halloween. It's kind of like a dress-up. It's kind of like putting on that muscle suit when you don't really have those muscles. It's just a show. And this is what Jesus is saying. You can put on a fruit suit, but that doesn't mean you're a Christian. But if you truly are abiding in Christ, if you're truly connected to the vine by nature, you're going to bear fruit. Hannah, you're going to make those brownies for people because you love Jesus. G-Man, you're going to say good words to people and be kind to people because you love Jesus. And Tristan, those prayers are going to be sincere because you love Jesus. You don't have to pretend. True Christians bear fruit. True Christians do Christian things like give and show mercy and worship God. And true Christians read their Bibles. and they pray because it's what their nature makes them do. So one of the things I wanted to ask everyone this morning was, does your nature motivate you to do Christian things? Or is your motivation to do Christian things in order to for others to see how you look? Are you abiding in Christ? And the reason this is important is, if this is a test for us, if we're truly not abiding in Christ, how are we going to battle sin? Verse 5. Let me just read this. Let the scripture do his work in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. Not puts on fruit suit, but he bears much fruit. For apart from me, Jesus says, you can do what? Nothing. You can do nothing. You can have dead fruit taped on your suit, but you can't bear fruit if you are not abiding in Jesus. If you're battling sin, Christian, do you want to fight sin? Abide in Jesus. Fulfill his word. Be in his word. Jimmy says, no root, no fruit. That's right. Verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and he withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. Keep going, Stacy. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove. And there you go. Your tie back to 1 John. You're proving that you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ because you are bearing fruit. Belinda sent me a picture of this week of Dennis. And Dennis was standing in front of a gigantic, gigantic sunflower. That's what it was, wasn't it? Big sunflower. That sucker was 12 feet tall, at least. It was double your size, Dennis. Huge sunflower. And why did it grow? On the flip side, there was a rose on Mother's Day, if you remember, for Evelyn, who was born. How much has it grown? None. Belinda says none. Hadn't grown a bit. You've got a rose that was cut off from its life and set out for everybody to see. And then you've got a sunflower connected to its source of life. So let me give you this. Let me give you this today. In your battle against sin, in your Christian life, you have a choice. You can look pretty for others. You can look pretty, or you can stay connected to the source of life. And remember what John called Jesus in the first chapter? He called him the Word of what? Word of life. So Christian, very practically, let me say, if you're struggling today, welcome to the club. My advice for you and for me and for all of us who are connected today is this, and very simple. Pursue Jesus, abide in his word, and let your nature, your Christian nature, bear fruit in you. Let the Spirit of God who is in you bear the fruit of the Spirit in you. And when you mess up, confess your sin, and like a rocket, seek Jesus. And don't worry about and entertain the thoughts of what you're going to be missing out on if you miss out on those sins. Doesn't matter. Go into orbit in 7 minutes and get out of the gravitational pull of that sin that's on you. If you're a Christian that's bearing fruit today, then I want to encourage you to share your fruit. It's easy to self-center and say, you know, I got it all figured out, I'm doing well. I want to encourage you to be a fruit sharer, because that fruit, it's not there just for you to have. It's the Lord's fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit of God. It's not yours. It's to be shared with the body. So don't hoard your fruit. Share your fruit. Share His fruit, rather. Maybe I should say it like that. And take the gifts that God is giving you and use them to benefit others, to benefit the church, to benefit your family, to benefit the kingdom of God. So much good this morning, but I'm going to have to stop for this morning. We'll pick up next week. Christian, be brave in your battle against sin. Be wise and be like a rocket pursuing Jesus. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you've got a fruit suit on, or maybe you're new to the gospel, I want to share with you that Jesus Christ did come and propitiate, make a payment for you if you will believe in Him and become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will give yourself to Him, then He can save you from your sin. And He will. Will you come to Jesus like John offered this morning in his song? Will you come to Jesus and live this morning? You must forsake your sin. And you must forsake dominion over your own life, and you must give authority in your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Recognize that He died on the cross for you, was buried, and rose again. And give your life in pursuing Him. And He will save you. If you're ready to do that, I encourage you to bow your knee this morning. You can come to this altar and bow your knee and say, Jesus, save me from my sin. Church, let's go live for Jesus. Let's share our fruit. And let's abide in the Word of God together. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for allowing us to abide in You, and help us. We are weak, Lord. We're weak. Fill us with Your Spirit. And as You've told us, be filled with the Spirit. Fill us with Your Spirit. That we pursue Jesus and abide in the love of our God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.